分类练习五。
Passage 1. The northern parts of the United States get very cold in the winter. It snows a great deal, and the temperature often goes below zero in January, February, and March. But the northeastern and north central regions of the country have been financial and industrial centers, and they are heavily populated. In recent years,People in these regions have begun to take vacations during these cold winter months. They go to southern parts of the country, where it is warmer. Many go to Florida, where the weather is tropical. Others go to the southwestern states of Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, where they find dry desert climates. It has become common nowadays for older people to move south to these places when they retire.Typically, these people sell their houses in their home communities and move south to begin a new life as senior citizens. Their children likely have homes of their own, and many of them are moving south, away from communities where they were raised. The southern and southwestern parts of the country are now growing faster than any other parts. Business and industry have opened many new offices and factories in the south.California is already the most populous state in the country. Texas and Florida are growing fast, too. They may soon replace such states as New York and Pennsylvania in population.
Questions 1 to 3 are based on the passage you have just heard.
1. What does the speaker say about the northern parts of the United States?
2. Why do some retirees sell their houses in their home communities?
3. In which aspect will Texas and Florida surpass New York and Pennsylvania?
2. Emily Dickinson.is one of the greatest American poets. She was born in a typical New England village in Massachusetts on December the 10th, 1830. She was the second child of the family. She died in the same house 56 years later. During her lifetime, she never left her native land. She left her home state only once. She left her village very few times.And after 1872, she rarely left her house and yard. In the last years of her life, she retreated to a smaller and smaller circle of family and friends. In those later years, she dressed in white, avoided strangers, and communicated chiefly through notes and poems, even with intimates. The doctor who attended her illness was allowed to examine her in another room,seeing her walk by an open door. She was thought of as a strange figure in her home village. When she died on May the 15th, 1886, she was unknown to the rest of the world. Only 7 of her poems had appeared in print. But to think Emily Dickinson only as a strange figure is a serious mistake. She lived simply and deliberately.She faced the essential facts of life. According to Henry James, a famous American novelist, she was one of those on whom nothing was lost. Only by thus living could Dickinson manage both to fulfill her obligations as a daughter, a sister, and a housekeeper, and to write on the average 1 poem a day. She read only a few books, but knew them deeply. Her poems are simple,but remarkably rich. Not until the 1950s was she recognized as one of the greatest American poets.
Questions 4 to 6 are based on the passage you have just heard.
4. How long did Emily Dickinson live in the house where she was born?
5. Which of the following is true of Emily Dickinson?
6. When was Emily Dickinson widely recognized?
Passage 3. Most kids are much better than their parents at programming the video or setting up the new computer. Almost certainly they can beat mum and dad at video games. And they probably think they are smarter than their parents. But here's the surprise. Those kids may be right. If IQ tests tell us anything at all, today's young people really are smarter than their parents. Studies from numerous countries suggest that IQ scores have been rising fast since at least the 1950s. Enough to mean that someone with an IQ classed as average then could be labeled as having low intelligence today. Humans, it seems, are getting cleverer and cleverer with each passing generation. But not so fast. There's a serious argument among psychologists over just what the upward trend in IQ scores really means. Some researchers argue that we are not getting more intelligent overall, just getting better at a particular sort of problem solving. Others, though, say they have found echoes of rising IQ scores in real-world measures of intelligence. A study last year analyzed a basket of indicators, including scientific productivity and performance in intellectual games, such as chess and bridge. Admittedly, none of the measures taken alone is compelling evidence of a rise in intelligence. An increase in scientific productivity, for example, could simply reflect the fact that scientists are under ever-increasing pressure to publish papers. And some measures, such as the number of patents awarded, did not show clear trends.
Questions 7 to 9 are based on the passage you have just heard.
7. What is the speaker mainly talking about?
8. What do studies from some countries suggest?
9. What message does the passage try to convey?
Passage 4. People enjoy taking trips. But what are the reasons they leave home? One reason is for education. People travel because they want to broaden their horizons, to learn about other people and other places. They're curious about other cultures. When people are tourists, they get a quick look at different ways of living. Even a short look at another kind of lifestyle is an important lesson. On a trip, a person can learn directly by visiting museums and historic spots. What does a tourist learn when he sees the art museums, visits the historic palaces and other scenic spots in Paris, and shops along the River Seine? He gets a vivid picture, a real life of the French people. He learns about their attitudes, how they feel about business, beauty, and history. What about the tourist who goes to Hong Kong? Does he get the same information that he could get from a book? He might read that Hong Kong is crowded, that there's less than 200 square meters of space for each person, but seeing and feeling the lack of space will impress him much more. He might read that there's nearly 200 vehicles for every kilometer of roadway, but the sight of so many vehicles parked along the roadside will be a much more vivid lesson. The tourist to Hong Kong will never forget the contrast, the straight vertical lines of the tall modern buildings and the moving lines of boats that people live in.
Questions 10 to 13 are based on the passage you have just heard.
10. Why do people leave home to travel, according to the passage?
Eleven. What do we learn from the passage about Paris?
Twelve. What impression will a tourist get of Hong Kong?
13. What does the passage tell us about traveling? 5. People's desire for beauty never ceases. This age-old tradition triggered a global industry, bringing about an estimated 1,870 billion income around the world. Why are we so obsessed with looking good? Different people have different explanations. According to sociologists, with other things being equal, the more attractively you look, the more favorably you will be judged by those with whom you are identified. Beautiful women are judged to be more sexy. Handsome men are considered to be more intelligent. They will earn more and are more likely to marry. Even a baby will smile at the charming actresses in commercials. What's more, the search for beauty is always connected with our instinct to perpetuate the species. For most of the time, lustrous hair and a curvy body have been signs of feminine attraction. The former indicates good health, and the latter shows the readiness for bearing children. Psychologists have their own story. After a close examination of those cosmetic advertisements, they concluded that they successfully played on the fear of looking old and the pleasure of looking young. The viewers, especially women, are convinced that cosmetics can erase our inferiority complex, bring back confidence and vigor. Whatever the reason, beauty industry is encompassing every corner of our life. Makeup, skincare, hair care, diets, exercise classes, they are everywhere.
Questions 14 to 17 are based on the passage you have just heard.
14. Which of the following is not mentioned as beauty industry?
Fifteen. Which of the following is connected with childbearing?
16. According to psychologists, what is the reason for people's beauty obsession?
17. What can be inferred from the passage?